There you have it. Okay, so everyone could feel free to mute themselves. Zad Hashem, you know, just to limit the distractions, I would still love to see your faces. Even though you don't show me your mouth, I would still love to see your face. And Bezat Hashem, let's get started. Okay, so first of all, I'd like, just like to say thank you to everyone for taking a few minutes out to learn with me this evening, Erev Shavuot, night before Shavuot. Just want to share some thoughts with you. Love to hear some thoughts in return as well. Second of all, I would love to thank, like to take this opportunity to thank my wonderful niece, Tehila. I don't know if she's here or not, but thank you so much, Tehila, for being my graphic designer and putting together beautiful flyers with 5 minutes notice every single time. Thank you so, so much. And just want to dedicate this shiur to all those who need a refuah shlema. There are still people who are suffering, whether it's a refuah nefesh or refuah guf or both of them. Mezat Hashem, they should all live to see many, many more years, live and be well, a lot of health. And let's get started. So I just want to open up with a joke that I once heard from a rabbi. His name is Rav Michael Lasri. Rav Michael Lasri is a lecturer slash comedian who lives in Israel. He's Israeli. He is by far the funniest rabbi I've ever heard in my life. I've met him a couple of times, had the zechut to do that. But he has a tremendous talent at bringing a lot of happiness to the people who listen to his shiurim. And I just want to preface the joke that just like any other joke in Hebrew, this one sounds much better in Hebrew than it does in English. So I apologize that a lot of it will be taken off because a lot of it will be diluted through translation into English. But here it goes. And to this, we'll introduce our topic of the night. So he said one time that an Arab and an Israeli got into a big fight. And they were going back and forth and they almost got into a fist fight. And they came up, they reached a settlement, they reached an agreement, something that doesn't really happen between Arabs and Israelis, but they reached the settlement in the following way. The Arab said to the Israeli, you know, for every Muslim holiday, I'm going to smack you in the face. And for every Jewish holiday, you smack me in the face, and then we'll call it even. So the Jew said, all right, great. So the Jew said, fine, you start. So the Arab began and he said, Ashura, first day of Ramadan, Eid al-Fatir, Hajj, and so on and so forth. And maybe 15 holidays and everything was said and done. You know, the Jew suffered a little bit. He had, boom, he had some smacks on the right and the left. But after 15, you know, 15, 16 holidays, don't quote me on that because I really don't know how many holidays they have. But I'm just throwing out a number. You know, he was all said and done. The Jew said, all right, you're done? Are you sure? Can you think of any more before I start? And he said, no. He said, okay, fine. And then the Jew started. He rolled up his sleeves and he said, Shabbat, Shabbat, Shabbat. Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, times 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, Shmini Atzeret, Simchat Torah, Chanukah, times 8, boom, 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 Tu Bishvat, Purim, 7 days of Pesach, and according to the Ramban, Sfirat HaOmer is considered a Chol HaMoed between Pesach and Shavuot, so 49 more, boom, 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 boom. He kept on going, the guy was knocked out, he was knocked out unconscious. So Rabbatai, we have so many holidays throughout the year, too many to count. What is a Yom Tov? What is a holiday? What are we celebrating? What meaning do our holidays have? Let's begin by saying and explaining what our Chagim are not, okay? A very common misconception is that our Chagim, our holidays, are just merely a commemoration of an event that happened in the past, okay? Our Yom Tov is something that commemorates a historical event. Is that it? Not at all, because if it was, then we would have many more holidays than we really do, right? There were so many events in history that were truly miraculous, yet we don't make holidays out of it. But then there are events that happened that were miraculous that we do make holidays out of. So how do you explain it? It's not just a commemoration of a historical event, right? Things that happen in modern history, okay, we said that we make days of commemoration. There's a day of commemoration for a day like Yom Yerushalayim, for a day like Yom HaTzmaut. It's a day, these are days that we really need to express our katadov for Hakadosh Baruch Hu, but to make it a halachic yom tov that's asur in halacha and I'm sorry, asur in melacha, and to take to adapt all of the different details that a halachic yom tov would have, that we cannot do. Why don't we do that? What's the difference between this day and that day? One can argue that the miracles that took place in the Six-Day War, there were open miracles. Yom Yerushalayim, that's the day that we conquered, that we it's not a day that we captured Yerushalayim, it's a day that we recaptured Yerushalayim. It belonged to us originally, and we took it back. Those are miraculous days. We don't make a Yom Tov out of it, halachic Yom Tov. Okay, Seder, saying Hallel and being happy, fine, but not a halachic Yom Tov. Why not? What's the difference? What's the difference between those two? So, according to Pnimiut, there are two types of miracles that Hashem brings into the world. Number one type of miracle is a one-time miracle. It's a historical event that displayed HaKadosh Baruch Hu's abilities in the world that only happened once in history. Amazing, amazing miracles that took place. However, they did not repeat themselves. It didn't happen again the following year at that time. And to those miracles, although they are amazing and an amazing display of Hashem's kindness and Hashem's might and Hashem's abilities, we do not establish a Yom Tov out of days like that. But there's another type of miracle. It's a miracle that happens at an event that took place in history, where the spiritual energies that occurred during that time, they come back every single year at that specific time. These are miracles in which we would establish Yamim Tovim out of them. For example, let's give two examples. Pesach. So, firstly, on Pesach, the Midrash tells us, Benisan Nigalu, in the month of Nisan, we were redeemed, meaning when we came out of Mitzrayim. Uvenisan Atidim Lehigael, and also in the month of Nisan, we are going to be redeemed. That means that there's a special energy of redemption in the month of Nisan, which all started when we came out of Mitzrayim, the redemption that we experienced in Mitzrayim. But that's a redemption that occurs and repeats itself every single year. Every single year is another opportunity that we can tap into redemption, whether a personal redemption, whether a national redemption. Pesach. Pesach is also called Zman Cherutenu, the time of our freedom, Independence Day, if you want to call it. Okay, the time of independence. We were now independent. We were freed from slavery from Mitzrayim. And the Sfarim HaKadoshim tell us that what's slavery? What's considered slavery and what's considered freedom? The Gemara in Pesachim tells us, I believe it's in Pesachim, that the Chametz refers to the Yetzirah. And our job on Pesach is to rid ourselves of the Yetzirah. That's considered freedom, to be free. Not to be bound by any addictions, not to be bound by any motivations to do bad, by any bad influences. That's Zman Cherutenu. So therefore, every Pesach, we have this repeated energy and spiritual energy that comes into the world that we can access, that can help us free ourselves from all of our averot, from all of our yetzaras. Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day that is mesugal, that's opportune for achieving atonement. As the Pasuk says in the Torah, it's not a made-up thing. Pasuk says, Ki bayom hazeh, we say this maybe 1,000 times on Yom Kippur. Ki bayom hazeh, because on this day, Yechaper alechem, Hashem will atone for you, letaher etchem, to purify you, mikol chatodechem, from all of your sins. Lifnei Hashem titaru, before Hashem you'll be purified. You see, if you notice, that entire Pasuk is in the future tense. Ki bayom hazeh, yechaper alechem, Hashem will atone for you. Litayer etchem, to purify you, so on and so forth. In the future, why is it in the future? Yom Kippur happened one time. Well, what happened on Yom Kippur? So we were atoned for the tremendous sin and the Chet Egel. Yeah, but just like Hashem displayed this amazing aspect of kindness by atoning for our sins, by forgiving us for such a horrible sin like the Chet Egel, so that koach of forgiveness comes and returns every single year. That's why we have an established day in the calendar, Yom Kippur, which is established and designated for atonement. These are holidays that the kochot, specific to that holiday, appear every single year at that specific time. It's a tremendous opportunity to tap into that theme of that Yom Tov. So what's Shavuot all about? Shavuot is, if you think about it, it's really the only holiday that doesn't have a mitzvah attached to it. Pesach, we have so many mitzvot, matzah and maror and so on and so on, chametz, right? And Sukkot, we have the Sukkah and the Dalet Minim and Purim, we have Mishloach Manot and the Mishteh and fasting and as the day before and reading the Megillah and Matanot Avonim and Chanukah, we light the candles and so every holiday, Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, we have the Shofar. Every holiday has its own mitzvah. What's the mitzvah of Shavuot? How are we able to access and to tap in to the special kochot that are available to us on Shavuot? And what are those kochot that are available to us on Shavuot? What are we supposed to get out of a day like Shavuot? So the Gemara in Shabbat tells us that at the time, is a famous Gemara, by the way, if anyone knows, there's a very, very well-known rabbi. He's very popular. His name is Rav Aryeh Leibowitz. He's a rabbi in North Woodmere, the Five Towns. Teaches in YU now as well, so that's our claim to fame. He finished off his first year teaching, but he's also very, very well known for his famous Daf Yomi Shiurim that he gives every single morning. And me being on the Daf Yomi bandwagon, I've been listening to him a lot. And he has something that's called a Daf Yomi coincidence. What's a Daf Yomi coincidence? Daf Yomi coincidence is when you know we reach the Daf that is assigned for that day. I think today was Daf Pei Bet 82. I think so. So the Daf, something that appears on that Daf of that day that has to do with something that has to do with current events, a coincidence. He calls it a Daf Yomi. Obviously, there's no such thing as a coincidence. It's all Hashgacha Pratit. Hashem controls the world and makes things happen at specific times. But he calls it a Daf Yomi coincidence. So the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat that discusses Shavuot and Matan Torah appears on Daf Pei Zayin Pei Chet, okay? 87 and 88. It's literally, we missed it by, I think, 2 days. It's what's, you know, it's like the opposite of a Daf Yomi coincidence. Like 2 days after Shavuot, we're going to, the Daf Yomi is going to get up to those Dapim. It would have been like amazing. Probably the best Daf Yomi coincidence of all time. But anyways, and those Gemarot, it tells us, it illustrates to us the entire story of how we received the Torah. And the Gemara Shabbat tells us that at the time of Matan Torah, when we received the Torah, Hashem placed Har Sinai over our heads and said, if you receive the Torah, amazing, great, we'll have a great time together, we'll live happily ever after. However, but if not, what did Hashem say? This will be your burial place. Sham Tehek Guratchem, meaning what? He's going to drop the mountain on us, and that's it. Rabotai, in life we always have bechira chofshit. We always have free will. We have the right to make a decision in life to go right or to go left, to choose between right and choose between wrong, to choose the Torah or to reject the Torah. That's not fair. We didn't have free will over here. We were forced into it. So explains the Maral Miprag. No. At Matan Torah, the Bnei Yisrael saw and experienced Hashem in such a revealed way that they have never ever experienced and no one will ever experience. So how can they possibly have free will if you see Hashem in front of your own eyes? How can you say no to the Torah? You see everything. You understand everything with such clarity. How can you say no? That's what the Gemara meant, says the Maral Miprag. At the time of receiving the Torah, it says, "V'chol ha'am ro'im et ha'kolot." The entire nation saw the sounds. You don't see sounds. You hear sounds. You don't see them. But the sounds were so clear. Hashem's presence was so clear that they were able to see the sounds. They saw Hashem's words coming out in the form of thunder. They saw thunder in the shape of an aleph and anochi, so on and so forth. They saw Hashem in such a revealed way that no one was ever able to see. They felt Hashem's presence in such a strong way that they almost had no free will. That being said, Shavuot is a time that's mesugal for us to feel Hashem in a more revealed way than we can during the rest of the year. The Rav Chaim, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, one time he went to a first grade Siddur play. Okay, a Siddur play is basically not a Siddur play, like an Aleph Beis graduation type of thing, where they graduate and they know how to read Aleph, they know all of the Aleph Beis and they know how to read Hebrew letters. And he wanted to come there and give them a lot of chizuk and, you know, give them a pat on the back. Yaakov Kamenetsky was one of the Gedolim of America in the previous generation, along with Moshe Feinstein. And he basically asked the class of first graders a question. He said, what did the B'nai Israel say at Matan Torah when Hashem offered them the Torah? So all the Jews raised their hands, and you know, the Rebbe probably prepared them ahead of time. All the Jews raised their hand, Nasa v'nishma, Nasa v'nishma. We will do and we will say, we will do and we will say. So Yaakov Kamenetsky said to them, let me ask you a question. We will do and we will say. Every single Jew got up and said, we will do and we will say. Who are you to say that the person standing right next to you also wants the Torah? Speak for yourself. Everyone should have said, I will do and I will listen. I will do and I will hear. In singular tense. Why is everyone speaking on behalf of everyone else? How do you know the person across the street also wants the Torah? Maybe he doesn't want it. So Yaakov Kamenetsky had a question. No one had any answers. He said to them, let me ask you another question. He took out this really good, chashuv piece of candy out of his pocket. Something that, like, you know, what was the most popular candy of that generation? Who knows what it was? It was probably like, I don't know, like a little tiny piece of chocolate. You know, nowadays it'll take a lot more to impress a little kid. But he took out this piece of chocolate and everyone's eyes lit up like, oh my God, wow. They started salivating, you know, drooling. And he said to them, you know, he pointed out to a single kid and he said, listen, do you want me to give this to the entire class, to give one of these to the entire class? He said, yeah, give it to us. And he went to another child. Yeah, you too. Yeah, give it to us. Give it to the entire class. Give it to the entire. So he asked those children, he said, who are you to speak on behalf of the person sitting right next to you? Maybe he doesn't want it. They said, obvious. Who doesn't want a candy? A candy is so sweet, it's delicious, the best candy in the world. Said Yaakov Kamenetsky, Am Yisrael understood truly what the Torah is all about. They saw Hashem in such a clear revealed way. There's no way they would say no. And there's no way anyone there that was there at that time would say no. So of course, it's obvious that everyone would want to accept it. Nasa v'nishma, yes, everyone is speaking on behalf of everyone else. It was obvious that they wanted it. Who would say no to a nice piece of candy? So great. Rabbi Cohen, that sounds amazing. You just told us what we're able to access on Shavuot. We're able to access, you know, experiencing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives in such a creative, in such a clear and revealed way. Very good. Chazaku Baruch, or for the Ashkenazim, Shkoyach. Now what? What do we do now? How do we access that? Okay, good. You told us what's available. But how do we get that? How do we access that? Give us the key to that door. So Ratai, here's the key. Shavuot has another name. Shavuot has a few other names, actually. One of the other names that is mentioned in the tefillah on Shavuot, we're going to, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow night, open up our Sidurim. And in the middle of Shmona Esrei, we're going to say, Zman what? Matan Torahtein. It's the Zman of Matan Torahtein that we received our Torah. The time that we received our Torah. The day that we received the Torah. Think about these words, Matan Torahtein. Matan comes from the word matana, a gift, a present. Hashem just gave it to us. Whether we had the head for learning or we didn't have the head for learning, whether we had a high IQ or low IQ, whether we were able to sit down and concentrate, or whether we had major ADHD, Hashem still gave it to each and every single one of us as a gift. Shavuot, Rabbatai, is a day that we have access to the ultimate gift, the Torah. And it could be accessed with almost no effort. All we need to do is to sit down and learn. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides himself in the Torah. The way to get close and the way to access that true and clear revelation of Hashem in our lives is through the Torah. I remember I had a Rebbe once when I went to Yeshiva in Israel. I went to Or Yerushalayim, also known as OJ. I don't know what's left of OJ anymore. But when I went to that yeshiva, there was a Rebbe of mine that quoted from his Rebbe that every time he would sit down and learn Gemara, what he would say was, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that's what the Gemara said. But then he would continue. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Amar Moshe Rabbeinu, who said in the name of Moshe Rabbeinu, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who said in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He traced every single word of Gemara back to Hashem, back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you learn Torah like that, and you keep on reminding yourself that this is Torah Sheba'al Peh, I'm learning Gemara, Mishneot Gemara. This was also given to Moshe Ben Har Sinai. This is also the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're basically reading that best-selling book and getting to know the author of that book in a very close and intimate way. That's what happens when you learn Torah. When you learn Torah, you get this closeness, intimate closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Hashem, who is the author of the Torah. But all you need to do is sit down and learn. During the rest of the year, it takes a little more than just sitting down and learning. You need to have a coffee first. You need to shut off your phone. You need to tell your parents or your friends, hey, I'm going to learn right now. When you go into the Bet Midrash, you need to limit all those distractions. It used to be when you walked into the Bet Midrash, there were no distractions. But nowadays, the distractions that we have in our lives, we bring with us into the Bet Midrash. We bring with us into the Bet Knesset. But on Shavuot, it's easy. You can access that closeness in such an easy way. You just need to sit down and to learn. The Sfarim HaKadoshim say that the same way Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin, it's a day of judgment, Shavuot is also a Yom HaDin. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin, is a day of judgment for Gashmiut. As the Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us, that from one Rosh Hashanah to the other Rosh Hashanah, your income is set, it cannot be changed. You know, obviously with the exception of a few things, your expenses don't take away from your, like spending money on Shabbat, spending money on Talmud Torah, and so on and so forth. It doesn't take away from your expenses from that year, from your income from that year. So say the Sfarim that Shavuot is a Yom HaDin, it's a day of judgment for your Ruchniut, for your spirituality, specifically Limud HaTorah, specifically learning Torah, your Torah learning. Rav Shlomo Volbi, the famous Mashgiach, says that he has a Kabbalah, he has a tradition from his Rebbe, that the same way in Matan Torah, Hashem told the Bnei Yisrael, Hashem told the Jews to prepare themselves for 3 days before they were going to receive the Torah. 3 days, 3 days beforehand, prepare yourself. And the Torah tells us about the specific ways that they have to prepare themselves, abstain from relations, and so on and so forth. So the same way, that's true. And during those days, and the day that followed, they received the Torah. So too, says Rav Volbi, whoever learns Torah with hatmada or hasmada, by pushing himself and not being distracted by everything going on, during this time of the year, as we explained above, there's special energies to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, special energies of receiving the Torah in a very, very special and strong way. So he says, he writes, Zohi Segula, it's a big Segula, Lehatzlacha, for success, Lechol Hashana Le'aliyah BaTorah. It's a success, it's an opportunity to be successful, to bring success into the rest of your year when it comes to learning Torah and growing through Torah. Person that struggled in this past year in terms of in the Torah learning category, and I'm sure we've all struggled in different ways on different levels. So take this opportunity on Shavuot to learn. It's an opportunity to just cash in. It's like these bonus points. It's like you know, sometimes these credit card companies give you these deals. You spend $1, you get 3 points. Your points are tripled. Every dollar you spend, the triple points. Quadruple points, whatever it is. So on Shavuot, you have quadruple. You have times 10. Every minute of Torah learning that you do on Shavuot, it counts as so much more. That will help you throughout the rest of the year. It's an investment for the rest of the year. We have to remember that. There's a very old and well-established custom that we have on Shavuot, which is to stay up all night. The staying up all night of Shavuot, this custom originated from the Zohar Kadosh and the Arizal. We spend all night of Shavuot trying to inject ourselves, not with a drug, but to invest ourselves, yes, with a drug called Torah. Torah is a drug, trying to inject ourselves with Torah, to soak it all in on this day, so that we're going to be set for the rest of the year. But wait, it's not all about learning Torah. So until now, all we spoke about was Torah learning and how it's a tremendous opportunity for us to improve our Torah learning, to limit the distractions on this night. You're going to help yourself limit those distractions. You're going to help yourself concentrate during the rest of the year. You can help yourself get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through learning Torah during the rest of the year. But it's not only that. It's not only the Torah learning aspect. The Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, we all know that famous Pasuk that that we say, Se'ena ur'ena benot Zion v'melech Shlomo ba'atara she'itra lo imo b'yom chatunato v'yom simchat libo. So we know that Shir HaShirim is a love story between Am Yisrael and Hashem. I always like saying it's a very, you know, graphic love story. If I would turn it into a movie, it'd probably be rated R. You know, it's a parable. It's a mashal to the love that we have for Hashem and Hashem has for us, no matter what, even through the stormy weather that us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu have gone through throughout the years. But if you look in Shir HaShirim, every time it mentions Shlomo, so on a Pashut level, it's referring to Shlomo HaMelech, but no. But that's the Mashal part. The Nimshal part is Shlomo is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Melech Sha'ashalom Shelo. Shlomo is Hashem. So what does it say? Ba'melech Tzena Benot Zion, Ba'melech Shlomo Ba'atara She'itera Lo Imo B'yom Chatunato, on the day of his wedding. The day of his wedding. And Chazal tell us the day of his wedding. The day of the wedding is referring to what? Matan Torah. Is referring to Shavuot. Shavuot is our wedding day with Hashem. So we know the Sfarim tell us that Yetziat Mitzrayim, when we came out of Mitzrayim, that was in a way our Erusin, our halachic engagement with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Sfirat HaOmer, we know that before a Kala gets married, before a woman gets married, she has to count 7 days of complete purity. It's called Shiva Nekiim, before she gets married. And Sfirat HaOmer period, Sfirat HaOmer period, which is 7 weeks long, corresponds to the Shiva Nekiim, to the 7 clean days. And the Sfirat HaOmer period is followed by what? By Shavuot. Shavuot is a nisuin, is the wedding, is a halachic marriage. The Sfarim say that the mountain that Hashem hovered over us, okay, so one pshat we learned was Hashem wanted us dead. But another pshat is that the mountain that was hovered over us at Matan Torah, it was nothing other than a chupa. Just like a Chatan and Kala have at their own wedding. The Torah scroll that Hashem gave to us was the Ketubah. The Chuppah is standing in Shemayim. I just heard I don't know if any of you have heard this tremendous Talmid Chacham Tzadik speaker, very inspiring speaker. His name is a Refine Waxman. A Refine Waxman, he lives in Muncie, has a yeshiva in Muncie. And every single year, he gives a very famous and very well attended a pre-Shavuot Shi'ur in the Five Towns, in the Shtibel, in the Five Towns. I remember 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago, when I used to go, you know, it used to be, you know, you had to get there 10 minutes before to make sure that you have a seat. Nowadays, or these years, the past few years, if you weren't there a half hour, 45 minutes before, you couldn't even walk in the door. Mamash, hundreds and hundreds of people would come to hear him. And he would do something a little unique at the end of his shiur, is that he would create a song. He would write a song, and the song included it was a tune that was borrowed from a different well-known song that he would take another one every single year, and he would fill in his own words. He would write his own song, and fill it in to plug it in to that tune. And the song had to do with Shavuot, and of course, if there were any events that occurred that year, he would refer to them. So unfortunately, this year, he was not able to do it in person. He was not able to give this, you know, very well-attended shiur. But he did it over the phone. And, you know, hundreds of people, if not maybe in the thousands, were listening to it, were tuning in last night. And if they didn't listen to it last night, I'm sure they heard a recording today. But at the end of his shiur last night, he started with a song, a few songs actually. One of the songs, he sang it to the song, the famous song, Torah Hashem Temima, Torah Hashem Temima. So he included these words, and it was really, really touching. He said, the chuppah is standing in Shamayim. The chuppah is standing in Shamayim. The malachim are already with lechayim. The malachim are ready. They're standing there with lechayims. For the great simcha, the purpose of creation, the great wedding celebration. In Shamayim, they're all waiting every single year at this specific time for this wedding. It's a day that's misugal for closeness with Hashem. It's a renewed wedding day. It's like a wedding anniversary every single year that we renew our love for each other. Throughout the year, guys, we're so distracted by so many different things. Whether it's work, whether it's school, making a living, family matters, parents, grandparents, kids, spouses, grandkids. The technology that's in our lives is very distracting. Obviously, it's very beneficial, but it's also distracting. Or anything else. We feel very distant from Hashem throughout the rest of the year. This year's Shavuot, guys, is a very, very unique one. Hashem has taken away many of those distractions from us. So much that Hashem is, so much that our minds have just been frozen. Everything on our minds has been frozen, has come to a complete standstill. If you're a sports fan like I am, there's nothing going on these days. Nothing, absolutely nothing. If you're into business, nothing, nothing doing. Economy, stocks, boring. You turn on the news every day, it's more or less the same. Many of us were busy with schoolwork, and now that's finished as well. What can we take out of this? We're approaching Shavuot during specifically this time period where there's absolutely nothing going on in the world. Many of us have felt a very strong feeling of loneliness over the past few months, some of us more than others. What's this all about? What are we supposed to try to take away from this? Rabbatai, Shavuot is that time that Hashem pushes all the other nations away to the side and wants us and only us. We need to replicate those actions, guys. We need to push everything else aside and say to Hashem, we want you and only you. I just visited one of those Jewish news websites a few minutes ago. And, you know, to see what's going on. Really, there's nothing going on. And they were just, and what they were doing on the website is they posted, you know, a recording of the Siyum HaShas that took place a few months ago. I had the zechut to be at, where there were close to 100,000 Jews that came together in MetLife Stadium for one purpose and one purpose only, to sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in public. Got me thinking, Hashem, listen, how beautiful was that? We were all able to come together, make a big Kiddush Hashem. Why aren't you letting us get together in shul tomorrow night and do the same? I don't understand. Every single year, every shul is packed with people staying up all night, sanctifying God's name in public. Why aren't you letting that happen? But then I thought that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants something a little different this year. Wants us to feel the love that He showers us with every single year. But this year He wants us to feel that love in a more intimate way. He wants us to feel that one-on-one relationship that's so hard to feel these days. To remove all the distractions and feel that Hashem is sitting and learning with us alone. One-on-one. A chavruta. Not a chabura, but a chavruta. Not a shir that you're listening to with 100 other people, but a one-on-one learning session with Hashem. Just us. And like we said, if we take advantage of this opportunity, this Shavuot, it will guarantee that we will feel Hashem's closeness in such a strong way throughout the rest of the year. Moving on in the night, in the evening, after staying up to learn, the peak of this entire night of learning is at sunrise of Shavuot day. The tefillah of Shavuot in the morning time, and according to the Mekubalim, especially Musaf of Shavuot day, is probably the holiest time period of all of Shavuot. So why am I telling you this? I just told you about how important it is to stay up all night and learn. Why am I telling you how important the tefillah is? I'm telling you how important the tefillah is because the learning that you do at night should not come at the expense of your tefillah. It shouldn't be that you're dozing off the entire night. If you know yourself that you're going to be dozing off during tefillah, then go to sleep for a couple hours and wake up and make the tefillah a strong one. Wake up with energy, with strength, and make the tefillah a very special one. Also keep in mind, just in parentheses, that for those who are living in the tri-state area, Zman of Kriyat Shema is very early these days, and the Zman of Tfilah is also very early. The deadline for saying Shema, deadline for praying Shemana Esrei of Shacharit is very early. So make sure that you don't wake up too late if you do go to sleep. Moving on in the day, there's a minhag to eat a dairy meal. Why is there a minhag to eat a dairy meal? So the simple understanding that we teach everyone in grade school is because they were taught, Am Yisrael was taught the halachot, all halachot and all mitzvot at Har Sinai. And among those halachot was the halachot of shkita, of slaughtering the animal in a kosher and proper way, which they didn't do beforehand. So after Matan Torah, that they received the Torah, now what? They have to go find an animal and slaughter it. But there wasn't enough time. It takes maybe a day or two until that animal, which was slaughtered, is going to be prepared, you know, to put on the fire and to eat. So what were they going to eat in the interim? What are they going to eat in the meantime? They were only able to eat dairy. So in order to commemorate that, what do? We have a dairy meal on Shavuot. So obviously, this should not come at the expense of having a meat meal. One should try very, very hard. It's a mitzvah on every holiday, on Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, to have meat, and Simcha Elav Basar V'Yayin, to have meat and to drink wine. But try at least one meal a day during the daytime. That's when the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is during the daytime, the day meal, to have meat and dairy. So even though you would have dairy in the morning, to try to have meat later on in that day. But that, nevertheless, that's one reason. Another reason is because chalav, milk, in gematria is 40. And what's 40 referring to? The 40 days and 40 nights that Moshe Rabbeinu spent on Har Sinai to receive the Torah. That's just another hint. Another hint is that the Torah is compared to milk, as it says also in Shir HaShirim, Devash v'chalav tachat leshonech. Torah is referred to milk, is referred to as milk. So what do? We have milk. But one that just stuck out to me is that according to Kabbalah, chalav represents chesed, kindness, ahava and chesed. I believe that yayin represents din, judgment, and chalav and milk represents chesed. It's actually very ironic that both chalav, milk, and also yayin refer to Torah. They resemble Torah at the same time, both ahava and chesed and din, which is very interesting. But nevertheless, chalav is chesed. And the pasuk says that we say every Friday night, Lahagid baboker chasdecha, that we want to praise Hashem's kindness during the daytime when it's revealed in a revealed way. We know that the kindness is revealed in daytime. Daytime is when you're able to see, when you have vision. Nighttime is when you can't see. Then that's why it says ve'emunatcha balelot, and to believe in you at night. Why not to speak out your kindness? Because you can't speak it out, because you don't know it for sure. You have to believe it. Because at nighttime, it's dark. You don't see things in a revealed way. But during the daytime, you see things in a revealed way. Lehagid baboker chasdecha. Does that ring any bells, guys? We're talking about Matan Torah, how we experienced Hashem during Matan Torah in such a revealed way. Lehagid baboker chasdecha. And chasdecha, chesed, is referred to by chalav. Chalav is milk. According to Kabbalah, chalav is chesed. And the Rosh Tevot, the first letter, the acronym of Lehagid, Baboker, Chasdecha, the first letter of each of those words, Lehagid is Lamed, Baboker is Bet, Chasdecha is Chet, spells out Chalav. Unbelievable. It's a time of tremendous kindness and tremendous love, tremendous Chesed that we could experience from Hashem. Moving on in the day, a person should try to devote the rest of the day to feeling Hashem's presence. Like we said, it's an opportune time. Take a little nap, rest up so that you could wake up later in the day and just soak yourself in Hashem's holy presence. Eat meat, drink wine, but don't waste the day. Don't let the day go to waste with sleeping and just talking nonsense. Try to devote a significant amount of time to learn. Learn whatever it is that your heart desires. You know that David HaMelech's yard site is on Shavuot as well. That's why we read Megillat Rut, because David HaMelech comes from Rut. So there's a custom, very strong custom, to read Tehillim on Shavuot as well. If you connect through reading Tehillim, you should read Tehillim. There's also a custom brought down to try to be Mechadesh something, to try to learn a halakha and to bring out, you know, a new concept, a new idea by learning it. A chidush. If you're not able to do that on your own, you're not capable of doing that, then at least try to learn something that you've never learned, that you've been wanting to learn for a long time. Person has never gotten around to learning halachot of Shabbat, you're cooking on Shabbat, try to take out a sefer and learn that. Borer on Shabbat, take out a sefer and learn that. Kibud Avayim, take out a sefer and learn Kibud Avayim. Whatever it is, learn something new to make it chadash. So I want to end off with a very, very powerful story to bring out the value and importance of what the Torah is and what it means to us. This is a story that I heard by passing a couple of years ago from a student in YU. His name was Jacob Avadia. He graduated a couple of years ago. I heard it by passing in a very short version. I've never seen it in any Sfarim. And I've repeated it many times since then. But literally today, I was listening to a shiur. And it happens to be, this is mamash, an unbelievable coincidence. It happens to be that the Rav that was giving the shiur said this story, but the long version of the story with unbelievable detail that he gave. Amazing. So the story is about the Rambam, and I'm going to end with this. The Rambam, as we know, he went to Egypt at a certain point in his life, to Cairo, and he became the right-hand man, the head doctor of the leader, I don't know what to call him, of Egypt. His name was, I wrote it down, Salah Adin. It's a much longer name, but that's what he was referred to. Salah Adin Yusuf, that's his name. For all the history buffs, that's who he is. He lived in the 1100s in Egypt. He ruled over Egypt. So his top doctor was none other than the Rambam. He really respected the Rambam, had a lot of respect for him. He appreciated his breadth of knowledge, very, very worldly knowledge. That we know the Rambam was a very, very knowledgeable person, not only in Torah, but also in Mada, also in worldly knowledge, as he was a doctor. So that was, and every time the Rambam walked into the door, this Salah Adin would praise him and just be taken aback by how impressive the Rambam was. The vizier, I think that's what it's called, that's where, the vizier of this man, the vizier of Cairo, was really the right hand man. He used to be the right hand man, and now he saw that the leader was giving a lot more respect to the Rambam than to him, and he got a little jealous. Every time he would walk into the door, I forgot his name already. The leader would be like, "Oh, hey, how are you?" But every time the Rambam would walk into the door, he would be so impressed, like, "How are you, Rabbi Moshe? Hope all is well. Please give, share with me a word of wisdom," and so on and so forth. So he wanted to get him. He wanted to try to. So he would constantly go over to him and ask him a specific question, and he would always ask him, "Listen, you're Jewish. Prove to me that your religion is better than our religion." And he wanted him to just go and let out this, the truth that Judaism is the best, and to prove it, and all the other religions are false, and so on and so forth. He wanted him to say that so he could go back to the king and say to the king, "Ha, this is your right-hand man. He's trash-talking you in our religion. Kill him right away." But every time he would put him on the spot, put the Rambam on the spot, the Rambam would say, "Listen, to each his own. Everyone should believe in what their fathers have taught them. Give a politically correct answer," as the Rambam did so nicely. It's funny, because if you look at the writings of the Rambam, when he talks about Avodah Zarah, he probably speaks about Avodah Zarah in the most harsh way than any other of the Rishonim. We learned this year while learning Masechta Avodah Zarah. The Rambam is extremely critical of Avodah Zarah. His opinions are probably more strict than many of the other Rishonim when it comes to that. But in this story, he was trying to be politically correct because he knew that his life was on the line. Finally, after weeks and weeks of this vizier putting the Rambam on the spot, this time he did it in the presence of the king. And once again, the Rambam responded that, "Hey, listen, I'm to each his own, whatever it is. Truth is what you believe the truth is, and that's about it. Whatever your parents taught you, that's what you should follow." But this time the king said, "Listen, I'm sick of hearing this answer from you. I want you to tell me the truth. Tell me what you think. Why do you think which religion do you think is the truth and why?" So Rambam says, "Listen, all right, fine. If you really, really insist, I could give you a little taste of what I think of Judaism versus other religions. But on two conditions. Number one, you're not going to be hurt by what I tell you. Don't hold it against me. after I do prove it to you, I don't want to be punished for it. So the king said, okay, no problem. And he said, number two, you're going to allow me to do whatever I need to do in order to prove my point. So the king had no clue what he wanted to do. But he said, here, okay, fine. Listen, I trust him. He's a very wise person. Yeah, why not? Rambam said, okay, fine. On this and this day, it was known to be a day of, I think every Friday is their, Ki'ilu, their Shabbat, that they used to all gather together in the center of the city of Cairo. And the head, the head sheikh would get up and would preach words from the Quran and would say, Muhammad said, da-da-da-da-da, and then let's say a sentence from the Quran. And then all the thousands of people that would be there would repeat the words after him. That was their act of service. That's how they went about their tefillah. So the Rambam said to him, listen, I want to dress up like one of you people, and I want to lead the prayers on that day. Don't tell anyone else who I am, but I want to lead the prayers. The Rambam was very well versed with the Quran and with many other religions as well. So the king said, what does he want from me? Okay, fine, let him do it. Let him do it. So he gets up there and he said, Muhammad says, and he reads a word from the Quran and thousands of people there repeated after him. And then he read another sentence and everyone repeated it after him. But then he read a sentence and he completely made it up. He completely made up a sentence. Out of thin air, he just made up a sentence that was not found in the Quran. And what happened? Everyone repeated that sentence after him. It was not found in the Quran, it was made up. And then he did it again, multiple times. And no one even flinched, no one even budged. Everyone repeated it after him. Afterwards, the king goes to him and says to him, boy, what are you out of your mind? What are you doing? You're making a fool out of us over there. You're making up words. The Rambam says, hey, listen, you told me I could do whatever I want. I can do whatever I want, so don't bother me. Let me finish. And then afterwards, you'll attack me. He said, okay, fine. All right, listen, he's a trustworthy person. I trust him. So the Rambam said, listen, I did this on your home court. Now I want to do this on my home court. I want to invite you to my Bet Knesset. I'm going to dress you up like a Jew. I'll give you, the turban and whatever it is, the tzitzit and whatever it is. I want you to come to my Bet Knesset on Shabbat at a time that I read the Torah. He said, okay, no problem. And him and the vizier were invited to the Bet Knesset. Obviously, no one knew, no one knew who they were. They dressed up as Jews. And they went and they sat down. And the Rambam, it was well known that he read the Torah every single week. He was probably the most particular in terms of the reading and the dikduk of the Torah reading. And he got up there and he started reading. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. And then he got up to a word that says he, and he read it who instead of he. Some small, minute difference like that. He instead of who, or who instead of he. And we all know, guys, what happens in every single Orthodox shul when the Baal Koreh makes even the slightest mistake. We all know what happens. Oh, he, Zelo, it's not who, it's he. And they correct him on the spot. They don't let him budge. They don't let him breathe until he corrects himself. Seder, he corrected himself. Goes on to the next pasuk. Once again, there was another word he mispronounced in a slightly different way. And everyone jumped on him again. Seder, he finished the aliyah making a few mistakes. Now, the Rambam never makes mistakes. The Rambam never makes mistakes. Finally, for the next aliyah, the gabai of the Bet Knesset, the gabai of the shul, comes to him and says, listen, Kvod Arav, Rebbe, we know you spent some time in the king's palace this week. Maybe you didn't have time to prepare the parasha. Listen, over here, we have someone who prepared it already. He knows it very well. Rebbe, why don't you go sit down and this person, this individual will get up and read the Torah. The Rambam, he was truly humbled and embarrassed. He's the Gadol Ador. He went and he sat down in his seat, and another individual went and got up and read the Torah without mistakes. Afterwards, the Rambam went to the king and he said to him as follows. He said, you saw that I made mistakes when I was reading the Quran or the made-up Quran to all of your people. And what ended up happening there? Okay, you and your visor were able to tell that I was making it up. But thousands of people repeated the words that I said. They didn't even think twice. They believed every word that came out of my mouth. But when it came to me reading the Torah in my Bet Knesset, I made some mistakes. They corrected me. They didn't let me budge. They did not let me go to the next pasuk before I corrected myself. Not only that, the Gabbai came to me and said to me to sit down so someone else should go get up and read it and do a better job than me. The Gabbai should come to me. I own the shul. I opened up the shul. I'm the one who appointed the Gabbai to be the Gabbai in the shul. Who is he to tell me anything? But no. When it comes to the Torah, we cannot tolerate even the slightest change. And that, my friends, the Rambam says to the king, is why I believe Judaism is true and your religion is false. Because our tradition cannot tolerate mistakes. That same Torah that I read for you in Bet Knesset minutes ago is the same Torah that we received on Har Sinai. And it's the same Torah, Rabotai, that we will be receiving tomorrow night on Shavuot. Same Torah, the same exact one. Same exact one. So I give everyone a bracha that we should take home with us these two aspects that we discussed tonight. First of all, to try to make the most out of our Torah learning on Shavuot. Try to make the most out of devoting that time to learn, designated the time to learn with Hatmada, without distractions, so that we could enjoy the guarantee that the Rosh Shlomo Volbi said to all of his students. He hung up in his yeshiva this letter that anyone who takes advantage of the opportunity to learn Torah on Shavuot and the days leading up to Shavuot is guaranteed to be matzliach, to be successful in his Torah learning throughout the rest of the year. That's number one. And number two, to remember that Shavuot is Beyom Chatunato, is the wedding day between us and Hashem. That Har Sinai was the chuppah. It's a day of intimacy, a day of complete closeness. And there's no better year than this year to feel that. We're not going to be around hundreds of people in Bet Knesset. Many of us won't, at least. We'll be home, trying to stay awake, trying to keep our eyes open, and to learn Torah. But to remember, you might be learning alone or with another family member in your house, to remember that you're not alone. Hashem is sitting down with you and learning with you. Remember, this year, it won't be a chabura. It's going to be a chavruta with Hashem. I wish you all a Chag Sameach, Tizkur Shanim Rabot, and also a Shabbat Shalom. After Chag, will be followed with Shabbat. Don't forget to make an Eruv Tavshilin this year. And to make the most out of Shavuot, to make the most out of what we have. I would love to hear any comments, feedback, or if you just want to say hi, I would love that. Thank you guys so much.